We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. We come to you from the historic market town of Dorking. Yay. Known throughout the world as the gateway to Junction 9 of the M25. The symbol of Dorking is the Dorking Cockerel, which is commemorated in the town by a 10-foot statue of a cockerel. The statue was erected in 2007 on the Deepdean roundabout and is often decorated by the local council to commemorate certain events. Last Valentine's Day, it sported a knitted red heart, and during the 2012 Olympics, it wore a gold Olympic medal. And to commemorate a recent visit by Jacob Rees-Mogg, the 10-foot cock was left as it is. Dorking's most famous son was, of course, Sir Laurence Olivier. Born on the 22nd of May 1907, Olivier was always destined for theatrical greatness. Indeed, parish records detailed his birth as born this day to Gerard and Agnes Olivier, a 6-pound, 4-ounce, dear, dear boy. In early 2000, a statue was proposed in the town to honour Sir Laurence Olivier as the greatest actor of all time, whose 1948 performance as Hamlet set the standard against which all future Hamlets would be judged. And yet his proud hometown still thought, nah, we'll go with a chicken. Legendary composer and symphonist Ralph Vaughan Williams lived in Dorking. It's claimed he wrote The Lark Ascending after seeing the songbird in a local meadow one crisp, bright winter's morning, and after subsequently catching a heavy cold, which he was forced to endure without a handkerchief, he composed Fantasia on Green Sleeves. In 1971, actor Oliver Reed bought nearby Broom Hall. The legendary Hellraiser was banned from his local pub for descending a chimney completely naked one evening and shouting, "Ho, ho, ho, I'm Santa Claus." According to the Surrey Advertiser, he emerged from the fireplace with a sooty beard and slightly singed sack. And talking of spoiling a good night out, let's meet the teams. On my right, please welcome Lucy Porter and Fred McCauley. And on my left, Milton Jones and Omar Jalili. And taking his place on the scoring desk next to me, please welcome our resident tree trunk in trunks, the immaculate Sven. We start this week with a round called Famous Last Words. In this round, teams, I'd like you to suggest words, the uttering of which would almost certainly result in death or serious injury. Lucy, you can start.
Oh, this is the life. The only thing that could improve this hot bath is some lovely fresh toast.
Milton.
So if you're going to buy that hand grenade, can I have your pin, please?
Fred.
Now, listen, mate, I've got an A level in chemistry, trust me. H2SO4 is water.
Ahmed.
Don't worry, Mum. Matt Hancock says it's completely safe.
Oh, I wonder where the mummy bear is.
Jump out the plane, 4,000 feet, 3,000, 2,000. I pull the cord. My cagoule tightens.
Abdullah, can I borrow your vest? Hey, that's not a joke for you.
I, Prince Harry, take you, Meghan.
Oh.
Well, it's time for a musical round now, as I ask the team to sing one song to the tune of another. It's a complicated round which bears some explanation. Try to imagine a song's tune as a digital wristwatch, whereas the accompanying words or lyrics are the numbers on the screen. Whilst the casing of the wristwatch or tune remains the same, the digits or lyrics are free to change. Of course, if you have an analogue watch, you should always remember to wind it. Otherwise, you'll be left with two useless hands that can't keep time. Which reminds me, at the piano, Colin Sell. incidentally, Colin was telling us that during the 70s he toured with the Stones, and thankfully, after a quick blast of shockwave therapy, he was able to pass them painlessly in his urine. Okay, we'll start with you, Lucy Porter. I would like you to sing the words of "Girlfriend in a Coma" by the Smiths to the tune of "Is This the Way to Amarillo?"
Girlfriend in a coma. I know it's serious. Girlfriend in a coma. I know it's really serious. There were times when I could have murdered her, but you know I would hate anything to happen to her. No, I don't want to see her. Do you really think she'll pull through? Do you really think she'll pull through? Do you? Ooh, girlfriend in a coma. I know it's serious. My baby, goodbye. There were times when I could have strangled her, but you know I'd hate anything to happen to her.
Lucy, I have to say, the producers of Oklahoma at the West End's Wyndham's Theatre have been in touch, and he wants to know how you feel about selling programmes this Saturday. You now, Milton Jones, I'd like you to sing the words of "Smack My Bitch Up" by The Prodigy to the tune of the theme from Blankety Blank.
Change my bitch up, smack my bitch up. Change my bitch up, smack my bitch up. Change my bitch up, smack my bitch up, smack my bitch up. Smack my bitch up.
Thank you, Milton. Omidji Lily, you're next. I'd like you to sing the words of "Relax" by Frankie Goes to Hollywood to the tune of "Perfect Day" by Lou Reed.
Relax, don't do it when you want to go to it. Relax, don't do it when you want to come. Relax, don't do it when you want to suck it, chew it. Relax, don't do it when you want to come. But shoot it in the right direction. Make making it your intention. Live those dreams, scheme those schemes. Got to hit me, hit me, hit. Hit me with those laser beams.
Thank you, Ahmed. And finally, Fred McCauley. I'd like you to sing the words of "Single Ladies" by Beyoncé to the tune of Leonard Cohen's "Hallelujah."
All the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. All the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. Now put your hands up, up in the club. We just broke up. I'm doing my one little thing decided to dip. And now you want a trip, 'cause another brother noticed me. I'm up on him, he up on me. Don't pay him any attention, just cried my tears for 3 good years. You can't be mad at me, 'cause if you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it. If you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it.
Fred McCauley there, and to think he walked 500 miles to get here. Well, this next round is that popular favourite, Name That Motorway. In this game, I'll be playing short recordings of traffic, and all the players have to do is to identify that stretch of motorway, including the nearest junction. Well, I can see the audience are raring to go. But before they leave, let's play around of Name That Motorway. Thank you, Colin. Right, buzzers at the ready. Here's recording number one. Lucy.
That's the M3 at Junction 13.
Yes, absolutely correct. But which carriageway? When you've done the hard bit, have a go.
Could I hear the clip again?
You may. And to help you, I'll play it backwards.
So that sounds like lorries on the inside lane travelling southwards. It's the northbound carriageway.
Is incorrect, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to open it up. Milton.
Well, if it's not northbound, could that be, by any chance, southbound carriageway?
It is absolutely correct. Yes. Yes, lucky guess there, Milton.
But as it happens, just after passing the M3, Junction 13, I alighted at a service station because I had a sudden craving for a bag of Werther's Originals and a poo. Just thought you might enjoy the anecdote.
Yes, Fred.
Yeah, I can't allow that to pass. Surely the Welcome Break service station is miles away from M3 Junction 13, is it not?
It's a correct challenge, Fred, yes, I know. I know that Welcome Break very well. I once spent a very happy 3 days there charging my Tesla. So, points go to Fred. Here's recording number two.
That's the M4 just past Junction 5 westbound.
Yeah, that was quick.
It's my favourite stretch.
Is it?
Yeah. So many memories. A couple of years ago, Jack, I was just leaving the M4 motorway at Junction 5 and passing a farm when a cockerel ran out in front of the car and I'm afraid I ran it over. So, of course, I went to the farm. I said to the farmer's wife, "Look, I'm sorry, but I've run over your cockerel and I'd like to replace it." And she replied, "Well, please yourself, the hen's around the back."
Omid has buzzed in. Omid, I should warn you, you can't buzz in just because you've heard it before.
I'm pretty sure there's no farm at Junction 5. I think you're thinking of Junction 7.
I think Omid's right, in fact, yes.
There is a farm at Junction 7, but the farmer's unmarried. You've confused it with Junction 9.
Oh, thanks, Milton. Bad luck, Fred. You may want to check that marriage was legal. Well, here's recording three. Yes, Omid.
That's Scotland, isn't it?
You tell me.
I'm pretty sure that's the M17 bottleneck at Rutha Glen.
Well, it could be, but on the date of the recording, that stretch was closed to traffic. Yes. Anyone else? Lucy.
M1 Junction 4 northbound?
No, Lucy, and if you think about it, you'll realise what a silly answer that is.
Really, really sorry.
Nobody? Well, that surprises me. I thought you'd be all over it. It was the Italian motorway A7 Milan to Genoa. Junction 23. Milton?
Southbound.
Sorry, Milton. I would have accepted diretto a sud. We could go on playing this all night, but it's important to remember tiredness can kill. So, on to the next round. Well, this next round is called The Symptoms, and it's all about the world of medicine. A few years ago, I became run down and moody and experienced a complete loss of sex drive, so I Googled my symptoms to find out what I might have. Turned out it was kids. Yes. Apparently, the problem can take as long as 18 years to clear off. Well, in this round, the teams will assume the role of doctors and patients suffering from an imaginary medical condition. And you can be the patients, Ahmed and Milton, and the identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Milton and Ahmed think they're cutlery. Milton and Ahmed think they're cutlery.
Do come in. I'm just warming my hands up here, Fred.
I'm just cooling mine down.
Hey, up, we're just down from Sheffield. I feel like I'm just not cutting it anymore. I find I can't take the risks I used to, and I really don't like it when the stakes are too high. I mean...
Of course, it's not all bad. I do have a supportive wife. We've been together since wedding day. It was a beautiful service, but the romance is gone. I remember we used to love a good spoon. And these days, we don't have anywhere near the number of forks we used to have.
You're not wrong. It's been years since I've been held properly.
Yeah, me too. I think I regularly used to get laid on the dining table.
On the plus side, we do like it when the whole family gets together at Christmas, all of us round the table, even the ones that no one has seen since last Christmas. And we really don't know what they're for.
Like all Christmases, things can get a bit tense.
You're right. Last year, it was so tense around the table, you could cut the atmosphere with Uncle Derek.
Yeah, he scares me.
I'll tell you who really scares me.
Who's that?
Yuri Geller.
I've written down knives, but I think they're maybe blunt. But there's more to it than that, would you think, Liz?
Well, the wedding was mentioned in a canteen of cutlery.
Yeah. Canteen. Have we got it?
They think they're cutlery. Yeah, they think they're cutlery. Well, the next game is a musical one entitled Song Stoppers. In this round, panellists from each team will take it in turn to sing the opening line to a series of well-known songs. And it's the job of their teammate to answer each opening line in a manner likely to end the song altogether. At the piano, we have Colin Sell. Incidentally, Colin tells us that in the 70s, he wrote the theme from MASH. It proved to be so popular, the sales of dehydrated instant potatoes went through the roof. You can go first, Ahmed and Milton. Can we have your medley of first lines now, please?
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
No.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like damn he fly. I pimp to the beat, walking on the street in my new Lafrique, yeah. This is how I roll, animal print, pants out of control.
Lovely to meet you, Mr. Gove.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away.
Yeah, I told you I needed a kidney.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife.
That is the vaguest horoscope I've ever heard. Na 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 na.
I don't think Granny can hear you.
Early each day to the steps of St. Paul's, the little old bird woman comes. In her own special way to the people she calls.
It was Kwasi's fault, not mine.
Have you seen the old man in a closed-down market, kicking up the papers with his worn-out shoes?
That used to be Jack D.
All right, your turn, Lucy and Fred. Can we have your first-line medley now, please?
This is some seriously good shit.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day.
Yep, and Saturday's when the Prozac ran out, wasn't it?
And there's people and they're young and alive.
So you're basically anywhere other than Dorking.
The first time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes.
That's very kind, but it's actually glaucoma.
Why does it always rain on me?
Because you live in Scotland, Fred.
We're no strangers to love. You know the rules and so do I.
No anal.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show. Yes. But there is just time to fit in a quick game of late arrivals at a wedding. It'll come as no surprise to anyone that Sven is a highly experienced campanologist. And last week he shared his skills with a novice group of gentlemen bell ringers, keen to learn how to ring for a wedding. After a lot of tugging in the vestry, which resulted in a round of very uplifting dongs, to complete the experience, Sven asked the verger to show them what the old organ could do while he took every one of them up the aisle. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to announce the late arrivals at a wedding. Lucy, you can start.
So good to see Mr. and Mrs. Arzadafew and their son, Vic Arzadafew.
Ahmed.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Inali Less Tedious Than the Man Her Sister Married and their daughter, Marge Inali Tedious Than the Man Her Sister Married.
Fred.
Delighted to say the arrival has just occurred of Mr. and Mrs. Money Runs Out, She'll Be Off, I Bet. And their daughter, Wendy Money Runs Out, She'll Be Off, I Bet.
Milton.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Istrioff Ismail Zofwe. And their son, Registry Office Smells of Bread.
And joining us all the way from Sweden, it's Mr. and Mrs. Chance at Freedom and their son, Lars Chance at Freedom.
From Scotland, Mr. and Mrs. Esley Think Thistle Last and their son, Jonesley Think Thistle Last.
I'm very pleased to announce Mr. and Mrs. Turing Firm Just Went Bust and their daughter Kate Turing Firm Just Went Bust.
And now, please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Horrible Feeling of Shag the Bride. And their son, Ivan, Horrible Feeling of Shag the Bride.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Riffice, the Vic on the Walton. Oh. Sadly, they couldn't make it today. But who's just come in? It's Mr. and Mrs. Riffice the Vic on the altar and their son Zach Riffice the Vicar on the altar.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the tepid tomato of time is left uneaten on the full English plate of fate, before the shocking chef of shamelessness pops it on the next punter's plate of posterity, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the team, Sven, myself, and our audience here in Dorking, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Omid Jalili, Lucy Porter, Milton Jones and Fred McCauley were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Fraser Steele and Stephen Dick. And the producer was John Naismith.